Count it a great blessing to be back with you all here this morning and to see everyone. I think last second Sunday, there was ice and threats of ice, so a lot of people weren't able to come, but we had good services, and Kathy and I enjoyed the fellowship greatly that day, and as we have so far today as well. I would ask you to continue to pray for the remainder of the service. My prayer is that God will have put a message upon my heart, and if not yet, provide me one, and as He is able to do, and has done so many times in the past, to feed His people. I have still on my mind some of the offerings. I've spoken on several of them over the last several months, and then variations, and then brought the experience of Cain and Abel into it, and the blood and so forth. Last second Sunday at lunch, a question came up about the sin and the trespass offerings, two of the five main offerings in the law. So I've been studying more on those, and I pray that the Lord has guided me in my studies and meditation on this. The difference in those, basically, because and the question really that came up was, what's the difference between a sin and a trespass? Well, what makes it difficult is when the definition of each of those words has the other word in the definition. And they are closely related. Now, as we go to Leviticus, in fact, let me just get a verse out of the seventh chapter of Leviticus. It says in the seventh verse, seventh chapter, "As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priests that make atonement therewith shall have it." And so they're closely related here, but yet if there's any general difference, I would say as we cover the sin offering, that sacrifice and offering, that it speaks of sin as more as of a nature, general sin in general. Then trespass offering is more specific sins in particular. And yet there's much overlap here, and even in thinking about the burnt offering, and certainly pointing toward Christ's sacrifice in covering all of these different offerings on the cross, and in his body, and his in perfection and impeccability. If we look over at the fourth chapter of Leviticus, which speaks of the sin offerings, and there's other places that do as well. You can find the many details on this, and I love the detail in here, and really it shows me, even if we look at the rest of the law service and what they were to do, even on the Day of Atonement and the different feasts, that God was very specific in what He had them to do in this. So I'm once again, I'll say that I'm thankful that we are on this side. We are under this new covenant, and that we don't have to serve that. We don't have to perform these services in our relationship and communion and fellowship with God. And yet there's much in them, and we do offer sacrifices. Many times I feel like that I do personally, I do God a disservice. because we are aware of something that many of God's children are not aware of, and that is the completeness of the work of Christ on the cross. And so in that, I feel like I fail continually in offering my sacrifices to God, because I know that I can fall back on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and that when I fail in serving God here in time, that Jesus Christ has covered and obliterated all of my sins. So I think, well, then it's okay maybe if I fail. Well, it's not okay. I strive to gain more maturity, perfection, to sanctify myself, because Christ has sanctified me. He set us apart. He's made us holy. And so then we're to serve Him. And He's given us that great blessing of knowing that, realizing that. You talk about a rest and a peace in our lives. That's it. We have this closeness to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our great merciful High Priest. I'm thankful to know that I can call upon Him at any moment, He is merciful, even knowing the sins that I commit, the trespasses that I commit against those around me or to God. And if I commit sins or trespasses against God's children, then I've committed those against Him. He expresses the importance there. So we see the specificity in these offerings here, both the sin offering and the trespass offering. But if we think back upon the burnt offering and the burnt and the meal offering and the peace offerings, those three, again, I'll remind you that those offerings were a sweet savor to God. They were aromatic. They were pleasing to God. They are pleasing to God. Yet the sin offering and the trespass offering are not. Those others ascended to God there. We think of the frankincense, that aroma and so forth, and what they all represented there. In the sin offering and the trespass offering, they did not ascend. The blood was poured out on the ground, representing the blood of Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine, as hard as I might try to concentrate and to delve into that, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, He shed willingly for me and for you. The love that it took is just it's mind-boggling. But He's given us today the earnest of our inheritance. We realize that in part, but right now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Oh, how I long for that day. My prayer to Jesus is that He come quickly, as we look around at the world today, I think about back in my younger years when I was a kid, and preachers would say how terrible times were, and for them, I guess then it was, but I think, oh, if they were alive now, they'd really see how bad it is. But I tell you what, we have that great rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, which we have been placed upon. We've been placed in that rock eternally, and in our lives, that's where we are. We are now sons of God. We are children of God. That's the state we live in, and we certainly owe it to God to offer these sacrifices of thanksgiving to Him. And this burnt offering, we see where Jesus Christ, being the burnt offering, He committed fully Himself. He was consumed as the burnt offering was completely consumed there. We see in the peace offering and the meal offering, the fellowship, and we know that Jesus Christ made peace with God. He reconciled us to God as no one else could. God knew When he created Adam, that he would have to send a sacrifice that would save us from our sins in Jesus Christ. He knew at the time that my first thought is, well, why did he even create man? But why are we here even today? And even tomorrow, we're to glorify God in our lives. Knowing what we do, that I could simply just walk away. And when we dedicate ourselves to the service of God Almighty in our lives, knowing that we don't even have to eternally, but in doing that, He's glorified greatly. And yet I think my sacrifices are so miserable. Even in saying that, that's actually not a correct statement, because my sacrifices to Him are touched by Jesus Christ Himself. And when they reach God, they are a sweet savor to God. He sees that through Jesus Christ. Knowing myself right now, I can't imagine me being as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself. But that's exactly what I must be in order to be in heaven. To be perfect. That's what God demands. Now, in the sin offering, and I won't go through all of these details here, but I see that, and if you'll read through this, or I know you have in this fourth chapter, and then even in the fifth chapter covering the trespass offerings, it speaks much of doing them in ignorance, and it emphasizes that throughout here, and I had a hard time grasping that, I realized that, and my fear is that I do commit a trespass or a sin against someone in ignorance without even knowing it. My fear is that I will say something that will mislead God's people the doctrine of Christ and never realize it. And so it's in ignorance. And then, of course, the sins that we are. In fact, it says in the 23rd verse of this fourth chapter, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, male without blemish. All of these sacrifices are without blemish, pointing to Jesus Christ. As close as these types of Jesus Christ could get. The antitype, Jesus Himself being perfect, being God Himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He is God. As we look at the ignorance here, without knowing this, and still they had to sacrifice these sacrifices, the bullocks and so forth, the animals, and then sprinkle the blood and pour the blood. And I like how it says that they're to sprinkle it seven times, that number of completeness, whatever it took to redeem us from Adam to us, to God Himself, to purchase us back from the law of sin and death. That's what it took. And so that represents that in these sacrifices. But in ignorance here, I think, if I was to save myself, I commit sin in ignorance, then how am I to know what am I'm even supposed to sacrifice for? Now, I don't even have a sacrifice that would be acceptable to God. And that's why Jesus Christ had to be provided for us. Our atonement is not based upon our ignorance, but it's based upon the knowledge of God Himself. And to me, this shows that God is aware of each and every one of our sins and our trespasses. Jesus Christ atoned for all of those, whether we're aware of them or not. So our salvation, to me, this shows in this fourth and fifth chapter of Leviticus that our salvation, my salvation, ours, is even more secure because He has covered things that we would not even be aware of. And so we're secure in that, in Jesus Christ, that these sacrifices represent these sin offerings. Jesus Christ was our sin offering. In 2 Corinthians,
fifth chapter. Second Corinthians, fifth chapter, the 21st verse says, "For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So he made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin. That shows the love of God that he showed toward us is that eternally, in fact, right now at this very moment, we have eternal life within us. We have Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost who has taken up his abode within us. That's what causes us to want to come and to sing the praises of God to him, those sacrifices of our lips. It's what makes us want to serve one another. To offer prayers up for those, so many that are suffering. It amazes me, those that are suffering from this dreaded disease, cancer now, it seems like so many, and other issues and problems that may seem trivial to someone else, but to that person suffering that, it's a real burden. But it causes us to want to pray for one another, it is a responsibility. And even if I might have, if someone has committed something against me to offend me, I'm to talk to that person and express that to them, but not to as I would like to in my nature to prove that I'm right and they're wrong. No, to restore fellowship with them because that's one of God's precious children. That's one of his children, and so we owe it to them to serve Jesus Christ in that respect. He was made to be sin for us. He was the second man, Adam. He was the son of God and the son of man. He had to be to make that great sacrifice on the cross. In Romans, the eighth chapter of Romans, second verse says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin, in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's hard for us to realize, for me at least, knowing the sinful creature that I am, to actually boldly say that I am a son of God, that I am a chosen, I'm chosen in Christ Jesus and saved by him on the cross. Every sin was obliterated. I know someone who, I don't know if he still thinks this way, but I believe in God and Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins, but I just think I've committed too bad of sins that I'd be saved, or maybe too many, and that actually takes power away from God, from Jesus Christ, but that's easy to think of, knowing how sinful that I am, but in the perfection of God, he sent someone to die for those sins, remove them completely from us, and so that sin, the sins of ignorance there, he covered even all of those, and that's what that sin offering represents there. The law just represented that. Now in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, let me briefly go there, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the sixth verse says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. in representing in the sacrifices in that law service, in the bullock, in the lambs, where they were to place their hands upon them. That represents our sins being placed upon the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ had the iniquities of us all placed upon Him, and He came and willingly did that to see Him physically, His glorified body now is what I long to do. I long to see Him. And yet, we are with Him now. He is with us. He dwells within us and causes us to have this love that we show one to another, because this iniquity was laid upon Him. And then in the 10th verse, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Jesus Christ knew upon the cross that He would be victorious. He knows now that He was victorious. He is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high by God Himself. His sacrifice was accepted in its entirety. All of these sacrifices point to Jesus Christ. And if we leave with nothing else in mind, we should see that these sacrifices, we won't ever understand this, all of these details of these sacrifices. And in fact, as I've studied these, I see so many different takes and opinions on the meanings of these scriptures and all. And certainly we need to prove scripture by scripture. Though some of these are writings that are not even primitive Baptist, which are fine. God, I believe, has revealed many things to us through others of His children. Even if I go and ask a minister, "Well, what does this verse mean?" And then ask another one and another one, you get all these different answers. But I tell you what, if we just give God the glory and the praise and the honor for the meanings there of these, then I don't believe we can go wrong there. And yet, I may misapply scriptures from time to time, but we have an entire lifetime to learn His Word, to grow in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we already realize that we've been saved and we will be there with Him one day. So we have the sin offering and the trespass offerings here, and it emphasizes this ignorance, but it shows us that even the things that we don't even know of, He has saved us from those. And so we're even that much more secure. As I even grow guilty and in my mind that a trespass or a sin that I might have committed, but Satan would use that against us. Well, you might as well not even go down there. You're not worthy to be with those good people in the church. We have been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ eternally, and even now that we are sons of God. If we go to 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is, it speaks of that. Now it says in the latter part of this fifth chapter of Leviticus, and then I'll jump over to Hebrews. It mentions in the 18th verse, "The priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord." So they had to do these things time and time again. We see that Jesus Christ once had to offer the sacrifice. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Where Paul brings these together here from the law service to the sacrifice of Christ. 10th chapter of Hebrews says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." So he starts right off the bat here. And Paul, I appreciate his situation, and yet I believe that I know he was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he preached to the Jews as well, and what a responsibility that was to bring out through God's presence and blessings of him speaking and writing these inspired words of God, that he was to balance these out, where he did not tell the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, that all that they had done was for naught. There was a purpose in those things, and he was blessed to bring that out and bring those into the church as well. These are the image of things, but they could not bring those. They can never, with those sacrifices which they offered, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If you come on the Day of Atonement and that took care of your sins eternally, then that's all you would have to do. You're done with that. But they had to come year after year, and it pointed to the salvation. Those promises that they that were written in their hearts, but they weren't aware of. We look back and see the fulfillment of that. And yet, what I long to see and to experience is the full the completion of the redemptive process. Where we see that. Our bodies also being redeemed, purchased, one day will be changed and be made perfect as God demands, as is shown in those sacrifices there. We are made perfect in Christ Jesus. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year in the 10th verse then, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. God has given us these inspired words to show and prove to us that sacrifice of Jesus Christ was accepted of God. Jesus Christ otherwise would not have said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was received by God, his Father, after suffering for those that were enemies against him, that would not have chosen him, they hated him there. And yet those that were touched at the time there, I often wonder, what did the voice of Jesus Christ sound like? What was the compassion that came out of his voice and the expressions on his face? And yet we're taught that his visage was marred more than any man. I wouldn't have looked upon him. One day I'll hear his voice when it calls my body from the grave, if I'm not still walking this earth. That's the way I should live. Let me close grabbing a couple of verses out of the book of Malachi. Malachi, the first chapter, when last book in the Old Testament, when they were not offering the sacrifices that they should offer. They were failing at this. Again, with the sacrifices that I've offered today, yesterday, last week, my entire life, I can't be critical of these people here, this Hebrew people, because I have failed in this as well. I may not be offering the blood of bulls and goats on an altar and all, but I offer sacrifices to God that I pray are accepted, are a sweet savor to him through Jesus Christ. But in Malachi says in the first chapter, 12th verse, "But ye," and he's talking to the priests here, in it says, "But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted. and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Behold, what a weariness is it, they said. I first thought, I cringe when I think of God's people saying it's a weariness to serve God himself. And yet, I have been guilty of this very thing. This is preaching to me. This is showing my sacrifices to God that I have said, not maybe in words, I'd be fearful to say that, but in my actions, I've said it's a weariness to serve him. And that's why day after day, more and more, I appreciate the mercies of God. I appreciate his mercy so much, or else I would be consumed. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? These were the sacrifices they were bringing. Thinking logically again, did they not think that God would notice and realize the sick, the torn, the lame sacrifices they were bringing, that they would not be acceptable? Well, why would he accept my sacrifices being the same quality or lack thereof to him? But he blesses us. And we don't even have to be at church. We can be at home studying, reading, meditating. We can be thinking upon God and godly things. And he's able to lift us up to where we truly, at that moment at least, appreciate what he's done for us. And it causes us to want to come and offer sacrifices that will be accepted of him. But the only way they'll be accepted is if we send them through our Jesus Christ, our great and merciful high priest, performing his services as our priest. That's the one we go to. When I fail at that in my life, throw myself on the mercy of God Almighty, I know that mercy is infinite, and that he will again bless me not to be sifted as wheat, as Peter was. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Jesus Christ himself told Peter. Jesus knew that Peter would fail, and yet he was no less a child of God after that than he was then and before. And yet we're to strive continually. And I think sometimes I oversimplify it and say, well, all we have to do in our lives is to serve God, because we already know that we're saved eternally. So being armed with that, then, we arm ourselves. We clothe ourselves with the whole armor of God in defense of God, of ourselves, in the presence of God, because we are placed within that rock of salvation. We are lively stones, living stones, I will one day be with him. I pray that come quickly, I feel like the Apostle Paul, the way he worded I know it's the inspired word of God, but as he spoke these things, inspired by God, and wrote these, it was as if he thought that he would still be walking this earth when Jesus came again. That's the firm belief and hope that the Apostle Paul had, that thorn in his side there, I believe he knew how he had treated the church. He had persecuted the very bride of Christ, so God told him that his grace was sufficient for him. He didn't say he would remove that thorn, but his grace was sufficient. Well, it's the same for us. As much as I get bogged down in thinking how terrible I might have been as a church member, or as a deacon, or as a minister, as a husband, as a father, he blesses us to realize that he is still guiding us, and we're to strive for that, knowing that we are in that rock, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that one day we'll see Him. I long to see Him face to face, but for now we see Him. He walks in the midst of the church. I believe that He sings with us. He prays with us and for us. With that kind of strength, we can overcome anything with the very power of God. We can offer acceptable sacrifices upon the altar to God because He has saved us and He's revealed that salvation to us. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.